Right. Wow. So first of all, I'm already excited because I finally got to see some singers that I know. Like, oh, I know those people. They look familiar to me. So that was really cool. That was a cool treat personally for me. I'm sure y'all was encouraged, but you got to understand me being the new guy, I'm still meeting new faces. So to see people that I actually know, like, oh, I've been to their house. I know those people. That's cool. I like that. So that was already encouraging right out the gate. So for all of you who are on the call on our Zoom tonight, and maybe we have some friends. My name is Kenson Desir. Me and my wife Shayla are here serving in the Westchester Ministry, and we are super excited. We've been here, I think, about 7 months, I believe. And it's been a ride. We've been, ripping and running, getting to know people, having people over our house, going to their house, meeting with people, just getting to know the congregation. And I can tell you that for, Shayla, she could probably speak if she was unmuted, but it's been so good to be a part of a congregation where there's warmth. There's depth, there's relationship, there's history, just so much. And so if you're on tonight and you're visiting with us and you've been checking us out, please, come see us in person. If you think this is cool, well, in person, we're so much more friendlier. So come on out and check us out. So for everybody else, happy Valentine's Day, obviously. You didn't need me to tell you that. There's like 6,000 commercials. If you drive by CVS, there's a whole bunch of heart-shaped bags and wrappers on the floor, and florists, selling teddy bears. So clearly, today has some significance to some people in this world. So it is a time that people celebrate relationships, and with that, because that's the day, which is today, I want to talk about relationships, but not necessarily the romantic type. Although there's some things you can pull from that. But I do want to talk about relationships because as human beings, we are relational by nature. Like we're not designed to say, I'm by myself, I love the island. And just me and a coconut, and I'm good. Like we're not designed for that. We're designed to be in relationship with each other, but more importantly, we were designed to be in relationship with God. And I think that is something the world just doesn't get. They try to fill it with other things, and it seems to work at a time, but in the long scheme of things, you were designed to be in relationship with God. And so that's what, I want to park on tonight. I gave my word. This is not going to be a 3-hour lesson because I believe some people have some plans. I don't want to ruin that. I don't want to be that guy, but I didn't want to waste this opportunity to take, God's word and try to make it applicable today. Like that's my goal and intention. So in a minute, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, and then we're going to be able to get started here. All right. So today, the lesson is called He Called Me Friend. And like I said, this is, all about Jesus and his interaction with his disciples. And I found some things in there that I think is definitely going to be something that we can pull today, even though today is Valentine's Day. I believe that there's some things in here that we can find that we can make those connections in our relationship with God, or even if we're on this journey to connect with God. So our main text tonight is going to come out of John 15, coming out of John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. So, but before I jump into that, I just want to ask you guys, and you could jump in the chat. When you think about friendships, right? When you think about friendships, what are some key factors that keeps that friendship together? right? So go ahead and jump in the chat and feel free to chime in what you think. So again, what are some factors that keeps a friendship together? And I'm gonna go ahead and just read out some of these things that I'm seeing pulling in here. Okay, we got trust, definitely. I can't call you friend if I can't trust you. that's hard to do. Encouragement, right? We receive encouragement being in a relationship, and we can also give it. Vulnerability. That is like for me personally, being vulnerable with someone, especially that I don't know, has been one of the ways that helped me build a relationship with that person. So definitely, I definitely can vouch for that. What else I'm seeing in here? I'm seeing being loving, of course, honesty, right? Who wants to be in a relationship where you're always lying to me, right? That's not gonna go well. Loving God, right? And we can go on and on, right? And so when thinking about friendships, these are some of the things that we believe are the glue, right? Because we either experienced it or this is what we've been taught, right? I wrote down some things. I have, you know, regular communication with one another, right? Like if we're in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, communication is key. We got to be talking. You know what I mean? That it helps, right? Trust. Of course, we talked about that. Mutual respect, dependability. You know, I'm going to talk about dependability in relation to a friendship that I personally experienced, and it really meant a lot to me. So putting all of those things together, we see that these are some different things that we've experienced in our own relationships and also in the lives of others. But as we are talking in the framework today, we're talking about the relationship that we find in Christ, okay? And so we're gonna go ahead and jump in. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses, we're gonna pick up in verse 9. Well, I have some graphics here. I forgot to show y'all the graphics. Y'all see the moving balls? I make sure y'all see that. That's important. All right. So in John 15, chapter 9 through 12, my first point, my friends make me better, right? Of course, Snoopy, one of my childhood, growing up watching these things. I love it. I still watch it every Christmas. I'll watch, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas. So don't laugh at me. Anyway, John 15, chapter 9 through 12. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love, right? So here we are, we see Jesus is already setting the standard of what friendship is. And what standard he's using? The relationship that he has with his Father. Now, you would think that is a very tall standard, right? Like, okay, we're talking about friendship, and this is what you want to compare it to. But as we look into the text, we'll get to understand more and more why is Jesus using this standard for a relationship, right? And it's his relationship with God. You know, one of the reasons that he does this is because it's deep, right? Nowhere in the text do we find a shallow point between God the Father and Jesus the Son. It's never shallow, right? It's very deep. It's personal. That's another thing. Jesus' relationship with the Father is personal. It is not something that he can just go here and just find God. Like, it's something that is deeply ingrained. It is internal. It is something that for many of us, we desire that. We desire that closeness with one another, right? And so it's a personal relationship. This relationship that he has with the Father has a requirement of commitment, right? Who wants to be in a relationship where the other person is not committed in that relationship? Whether it's a romantic relationship, no one wants to be in a relationship with a boyfriend or a husband or a wife, and they're not committed to putting in the work, They're not committed to making sure that they're considering your needs and your desires, as well as you're doing the same for them. No one wants to be in a relationship like that, right? This relationship also requires obedience, right? Jesus obedient to God, and then he's having the same standard for the relationships that he has with his disciples. And then he claps it all off. He says, remain in his love, right? Remain in it. Don't wander from it. Don't, you know, one day you're here and the other day you're not. Again, when we think about our relationships within this world, right? I'm not talking about those of us who have relationships within the kingdom of God, but just the world in general. How many times have you been in relationships where it hasn't been nurturing? Where you are putting in effort, but yet you're being neglected, right? That is not the relationship that Jesus is talking about. A matter of fact, the standard that he has is in contrast to what the world has, right? The world struggles to remain in relationships. Like this is something that we have known since the beginning of time. We struggle with being in relationships that's described in this verse that we see here, right? The standard and the values that Jesus talks about here is not practiced in many of the relationships that we've experienced in the world. Not to say that there's no relationships in the world that's not nurturing, but by and large, the comparing what Jesus is talking about with the relationship with the Father, it's not the same like those of in the world. It's just not, right? So I have something here I want to share with you, right? And this is in the spirit of Valentine's Day, in the spirit of, you know, relationships, you know, specifically, you know, romantic relationships. This is coming from directly from the Bumble dating app, right? It's a popular app that, you know, many singles are looking to make a connection. Because again, even though you're in the world, let's say you're not even a Christian, you still desire to be in a relationship because that's what you were created to be like this, right? So this is one of the stats that they have. It says some research has shown that around 1 out of 14 U.S. adults had broken up with somebody on Valentine's Day. Ouch. Like 1 out of 14, somebody's getting dumped on Valentine's Day. That's very opposite of nurturing, in my opinion, right? And why is that, right? Why? Well, one of the biggest reasons they found is the potential for deeply disappointed dates or gift leading to someone getting dumped, right? So the world, especially today or days like today, there's this invisible and visually pressure that's put on people, right, to perform. Right. To perform in a way that the world says you ought to do it. Right. You ought to spend X amount of dollars today to display your affection or love for the person that you're in a relationship with. And then we see, well, because of that pressure, because of the high expectation that people will put, it's not a expectation that Jesus would have. Right. His expectation is very different in contrast to what the world would say. The pressure has this, you know, it brings the person to the point where, you know what, I would just break up. I'd rather remove myself from this relationship versus continuing on. And so, again, this shows the severe contrast between Jesus' relationship with the Father versus how the world will determine how relationships look like, right? It's not deep. It's very, very much shallow, right? Now I want to talk to you about this. Consider the relationships you have now. I'm talking about those of us who've been a part of the Westchester Church. You guys have been here for many years. And in that time, you have built so much memories, right? You have so much things that you have done together. You've been there through the good times. You've been together with each other through the tough times. You've been together on vacations, etc. Like there's so much memory and that intertwining that's been taking place in this relationship that you have with one another, right? And all of this, right, all of this is because of the decision that you have made to remain in Christ, right? Because you have decided to remain in Christ, those decisions have dramatically affect the relationships that you now have, right? Think back when you were not a Christian, right? When Jesus' love did not influence your decisions. Think about those relationships. Now think about what your relationships has been like now that you've made Jesus Lord of your life. Think about how that has influenced all of those relationships that you are now a part of, right? Because we are in this community, we are a family, because of the fact that you remained in Christ, it has influenced your relationships, right? And just as he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love, right? So if anything you get out of this point is to understand that we are called to remain in Christ's love. What love? What does it look like? Well, it's the same one that he had with the Father, right? Now, moving on. The next point, joy, 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 right? My joy, your joy. In John chapter 15, picking up in verse 13, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, again, we got Peppermint Pat. We got, you know, my Snoopy there. They're having a good time. They're enjoying one another, right? I remember watching these things, watching these cartoons growing up, and I was just like, man, I wish I could be part of that crew. Because, I mean, even though they had some rough patches, you know, they never let Snoopy kick the ball. It was rough. But in the end, they stuck together. You know, they stuck together, right? So why does Jesus want us to remain in his love? Like, that's the question I was asking myself. Well, why? Well, he wanted his joy to be in us. Like, that's why he wanted his disciples to remain in his love, because he wanted his joy to be in us. Not only that, he wanted our joy to be complete. Because outside of him, the joy is not complete. It's not complete. Jesus looking at us, looking at this world, and already recognizing that their joy is not complete. They need to be in me. So if they remain in me, I can give them this joy that I have with the Father, and that you can now be complete with this joy, right? Because the world's joy is incomplete. That is a lived fact, that the joy that the world offer is incomplete. It has its emotional high, and then it immediately steeps down. Whether it happens today, whether it happens in a month, whether it happens in a year, that joy is not complete without Christ, right? And so Jesus' joy comes from his relationship with the Father. Jesus wanted us to experience that same joy, right? And again, joy is not necessarily a happy emotion, because you can go through tough trials and still be joyful, right? But the joy that he's talking about is not a joy based off circumstances. He's talking about the joy of being in Christ, knowing that even if your life sucks, the fact that you are in my joy, you're in my love, that you are going to be taken care of eternity. Like, you have something to look forward to. And that's why you can be joyful now, even though your circumstances are not favorable, because you are in my love, you are in me, and I am in you. Therefore, when all this is done, when judgment comes, you know that you have a place waiting for you. And that's why we can be joyful even in the times of unfavorable times, or even experiencing sorrow, right? Jesus didn't want us to have that watered down version of joy, right? Again, I use Valentine's Day as an example, right? For those who spent hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars trying to impress the significant other or you know, their girlfriend or boyfriend, like how long is that going to last, right? Like that is temporary excitement, right? That is not long lasting, right? Again, it's an incomplete version of joy, right? And so Jesus here decides, I'm going to take it a notch higher, right? Because he says, okay, the pinnacle of the relationship that I'm talking about is going to mean that there's going to have to be some sacrifices, right? Like that's going to be the pinnacle of this love I'm talking about. That relationship is one laying down your life. You know, again, how many of us had friends that who've demonstrated this level of love for us, right? I mean, just think about it. Think about times maybe you've had, you know, situations where financially you don't have it, right? And here comes his friend sacrificing their finances to help support you, right? Think about times where maybe some of us have been, you know, out of a home and someone had, you know, your friends have, you know, surrounded you and took you in, right? Putting their lives on hold to meet needs that you have, right? Even, you know, driving across, you know, across city or across town or even crossing state to be with you because maybe you're going through a rough patch in your life and this friend has put hold their life and they sacrifice time, they sacrifice finances, they sacrifice energy to be with you because they want you to know they are your friend, right? Again, this is the kind of friendship that Jesus is talking about with his disciples, that they're laying down their lives for one another. And it's not, you know, not in a way that you're grudgingly doing it, but because you're motivated because of the relationship that you have with one another. You know, I'm going to take a moment here to share about a very good friend of mine by the name of Ben Pierre. This is, you know, I knew him since the campus days in South Florida. And, you know, we've been friends from, you know, from college. And then, you know, he ended up getting married and, you know, he had two sons. And one time, this is one of the biggest things I remembered. We were moving from Miami to Georgia. And, you know, I rented the U-Haul truck and me and my friends, we were loading the truck up all night. And I was tired. And so he came off his work. I think he came off the third shift. He came off the third shift of his job and said, hey, I'll drive the truck for you. You know, and I'm like, nah, I can't let you drive. You just got off work, man. You know, I'll do it. He's like, no, I'll do it. Just close your eyes. And I was like, all right, bet. I'll close my eyes for a couple of, you know, maybe about an hour or so. And then I could take over. That couple of hours lasted about 7. By the time I woke up and found my bearings, we were about maybe 30 minutes away from my home in Georgia. This brother drove the entire trip. He stopped, he put gas in the truck. I didn't even know he did this. This was my guy. And again, he sacrificed energy. He sacrificed money. He sacrificed time to show me this level of friendship. And so because of that relationship, because this is what Jesus had with the Father, this is the same relationship that he entered and desired for his disciples, right? That they would have that same level of interaction with him. And then for us to have that same level of interaction with each other. Like that was part of making his joy complete, to see that the relationships amongst the brothers and sisters were just the same as the relationship he had with the Father and the relationship he had with the disciples. And so I find that so encouraging. And it goes back again to what he said. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. So my last point is that he called you friend. Right. And so you see my image right here, you know, my man Snoopy, my man Charlie Brown, why'd you choose me? Right. And you know, you kind of look at yourself and you might wonder, hey, you know what? I'm not a 10 talent person, or I'm not that favorable. You know, my looks may not be that favorable, or I don't really offer anything to your life. Why are you choosing me? Right. And so in John 15, verses 15 through 17, we read, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Now, I already know Kevin Davis is doing backflips right now, because whenever we talk about love, that's his language right there. He loves this, right? So shout out to Kevin Davis. But Jesus wanted you. That is so important. Because in a world where performance is key, what you can give is key, what you bring to the table is what's considered a standard, a measurement of whether or not we engage in this relationship. Jesus says the opposite. Now, I chose you. Like, I chose you. Now, for the disciples, for them to hear this, this was major that he called them friends. Because before that, the only person to be called friend was Abraham, right? He was called a friend of God. So that's the only place in the text you're going to find that. And here's Jesus, the Son of God, the one who did all these miracles, who's their teacher, their master, their rabbi. He turns to them and say, listen, you're no longer servants, right? I'm bringing you up to another level. You're a friend now. And he explains to them why, what does that mean? Because he said, listen, a servant doesn't know what the master does. He's not in his business like that. He just do what he told him to do, and that's it. But as a friend, the reason I'm calling you a friend, because I've shared everything that the Father has given me. And so I'm giving it to you. I made it known to you. So because I've made it known to you, you're my friend, right? I'm calling you friend. Jesus elevated them because he wanted them to understand the significance of this relationship, right? So I say this, do not underestimate sharing what God has given you with others, to others. Like, don't underestimate how valuable that is. Like, God has given you something, and then for you to share it, you to share exactly what he's given you to someone else. That is the bridge. Those are the bridges that we can build to not only win those who are not in the fellowship, those who are not part of God's kingdom, but to for each other, right? We can build each other up by sharing what God has given us with each other, right? Again, Jesus chose them, right? And this was a special gesture, right? It didn't matter where they came from. It didn't matter what they could bring to the table or what they couldn't bring to the table. He loved them and he shared with them what he had with the Father, right? And so, again, we like that. We like being chosen, right? I know when I was playing basketball, I liked being the first pick, second pick, last pick. You know, I might feel type of way about it, but at least I was playing. Right. At least I got a chance to run. Right. But Jesus, when he's choosing, right, we know that it's personal. Right. We know Jesus not to be shallow. We know him not to be someone who is just going to just flippantly make random decisions. Everything that he does is very specific. Right. And so that's the relationship that he wants us to enter with him. And that's the relationship he wants us to have with one another, that we make our relationships personal, that we make it deep, that we're intentional, right? Again, Jesus says, I chose you. Again, that wasn't by accident. It was very specific. It was intentional. He chose those relationships. And that's what he's calling us to do. We have to choose these relationships with one another. Again, it was done intentionally so that we can have the same experience and depth that he had with the Father that we can have with each other and along with him as well, right? I share one last personal story before we close out. I think it was last week, maybe it was a week ago. And I went to my mail and I got, you know, it was a letter and it was addressed to me. And I opened it up and it was a handwritten letter by someone here in Westchester. And first of all, like, it blew me away that somebody wrote, you know, that mailed me a letter. Could have wrote me a card, could have typed it up and then folded the letter and then put it in an envelope and gave it to me. But this person got a sheet of paper, got a pen, and wrote a letter, and a full-page letter. I'm not talking about one paragraph and call it a day. Like, the top line, and I think, like, one less line at the bottom. Like, this person thought about it. This person was intentional about who he was writing this letter to, and he shared his heart with me. And I felt so encouraged. I didn't even get to read the content of the letter. It was just the fact that it was so intentional and it was so personal. And I was like, that's how you build relationships. That's how Jesus was. The world doesn't do that. The world doesn't really operate under that scope. But this person operated under the scope that I see in the scriptures. And so when I say that this is where our relationships can continue to grow, is where we imitate the things that we see Christ do with his disciples, right? And so he's called us to be his friend. He wanted us to experience the love that he has with the Father. He wanted us to share that love with one another. And so this is what we need to be doing. I know today is Valentine's Day and it has a lot of, you know, attachments to it, but this is real love. This is not commercial. This can't be packaged and mass produced the way it's done in the world. It can be done through us, through our example, through our intentionality with one another. So, brothers and sisters, I have some homework for you tonight, right? I know it's a Valentine's, and y'all like, yo, hold on, I got plans. I ain't got time for all that. However, the good thing is you ain't got to do it tonight, all right? You don't got to do it tonight. But what I'm asking you is this. I would like for everyone to think about a person in our fellowship, right? This person, whether you know who they are, think about someone that you can encourage, right? I would like you to imitate the person that wrote me a letter. And I would like everyone to handwrite a letter to the person or persons that you're thinking about, right? Express gratitude, express your love for that person, express a thank you. Maybe it's servants that don't really get acknowledged, but you see what they do. Write them a letter. And let's bring it Sunday, right? Let's bring it on Sunday service and let the fellowship be filled with handwritten letters to people. And allow that fellowship and allow that spirit of love and imitating what Jesus has did. And let's build on that. Okay. So that's the homework. You don't got to do it tonight, but you can think about it and then work on that letter as we get closer to Sunday. So again, guys, I hope that this was encouraging. I hope this kind of helped rekindle some ideas and thoughts about the other person, because that was the intention, for us to think about how Jesus treated relationships and that we would do the same. So I will see you guys on.